Welcome to Behind the Screens. I am Jens Østergaard, and you're listening to a podcast series made by energy trading house Danske Commodities. In this series, we dive into the world of energy trading together with our in-house experts. And in this episode, we look into the U.S. energy markets, and I'm joined by our head of U.S. trading, Tor Kalstrup.
Big differences in the U.S., they have a nodal system, so the way you trade and the way you analyze and approach the market is different.
And our head of U.S. short-term power trading, Anna Stamm.
In short, if I have to summarize everything, it was absolutely amazing. It's the best thing I have done in my career so far.
And Tor, let's start with you. What is it we do in the U.S. markets?
Yeah, in 2019, we started out with the main focus of starting up power trading in the U.S. We settled down in Stanford, basically because we wanted to utilize the Equinor office, which was already in place and it's set up here. But the main focus was definitely power trading. And then we've continuously expanded out through the different ISOs in the U.S. and have a good and large footprint in the U.S. as of today.
Can you tell us which geographical areas we're trading in?
Yeah, we're active in the Northeast here around New York. It's called the New York ISO, PGM, and MISO is a big ISO in the central of the U.S., and Texas, ERCOT, and CAISO in California.
Anders, what was the business case we saw in the U.S. back in 2019?
Yeah, so I think initially it was a desire to leverage the trading capabilities we have within long-term capacities in Europe. There were a lot of similarities between those two business areas and the competencies that drove the good performance in Europe over many years. And then it was a way in to one of the largest power markets in the world. So it was a start to something that would become great.
When did you become involved with trading in the U.S.?
My initial journey in as part of the U.S. team started in my previous job as a manager for one of the intraday trading desks. My interest was sparked by a desire to be part of DC's global journey. So I was very much into whatever DC was about to do anywhere in the world. And the first one was US was the big one. So I actually applied for permission to look into a business case for the short-term markets of the US. And the more time we spent on it internally, we analyzed a lot of the data, a lot of the market potential. The more time we spent on that, the more time we were allowed to use even further, which eventually I was offered the opportunity to actually go to the U.S., be expatriated with my wife and two kids, and start up the whole desk for short-term trading.
What was it like for you to start up a new trading desk on a new continent?
I think, in short, if I have to summarize everything, it was absolutely amazing. It's the best thing I have done in my career so far, with all of the challenges and rewards and successes that it entails. But the few things that stand out, if I think back now, was, you know, arriving to an empty house with my family on a Friday night in end of February 2021, when everyone thought that COVID was done. We had to settle in as a family in a very nice area, but also in a very different country, in a very different society. That was very challenging, but also very rewarding. And we have some of the best experiences as a family from those 2.5 years we were there. As part of Equinor, we were part of a 150 people office where there was only 4 people, and that was 4 Danske people. So that was 4 DC people, the 3 FTR guys, and then me. That lasted for many months after the kind of the COVID protocol was implemented in all of the Equinor offices.
So you sat actually in an almost empty office.
Yes. And we were sitting like 4 to 5 meters apart, because that was the under the conditions Equinor had approved that we could be part of the office there. But that lasted for many, many months before we had several Equinor employees coming into the office.
What's the difference between Europe and US when it comes to energy trading?
a lot is the same, but there's some things that are different. Of course, the fundamentals and what drives energy prices is the same. So that's not very different. Big differences in the US, they have a nodal system. So the way you trade and the way you analyze and approach the market is different from Europe. And of course, they don't in the same way have an intraday market as in Europe. They do, but it's also in many ways different. Yeah.
Could you put a few more words into nodal and what that means?
Yes, the financial market is represented as the physical market, right? So you're trading down to the very load zones there are, or the production units that actually are part of the network. Where in Europe, it's very much more aggregated. So you trade a whole price zone, which actually also in Europe consists of nodes and a whole network underneath this, but you don't trade that down to that granularity as you do here in the US.
How does Danske Commodities and Equinor work together in the US?
Well, we of course sit physically together, so there's definitely some daily interactions. The ambition is also that we can support Equinor with some of their renewable ambitions here in the US. It's definitely the plan that we should be a preferred partner in supporting them managing these assets and creating value for them in the power markets.
So there will be a setup similar to what we see in Europe, or...?
Yes, it's the ambition that we, in the coming years, will create a support function here in the US to manage the batteries that we have planned to go live with in the US.
Where do you see the markets go?
I think the trading opportunities for power, both physical and financial power in the US, is a very attractive opportunity for the, I would call it, the mid to long term. So I would say anything from 5 years and onwards. And that's mostly because it really takes time to implement renewables into the grid. It takes a lot of time to become part of the interconnection queue at an ISO to connect your battery or your wind or solar park. And at the same time, a lot of the US ISOs, they or the organized markets, they are retiring some of the fossil-based plants. So the generation mix will change, and it will also be more volatile on a day-to-day basis in the future. But it is a more mid- to long-term future than just saying next year we will have X gigawatts more of solar in MISO, or that is the Midwest market, or in Europe, where you have seen an insane growth year on year for both wind and solar in many countries. So it does take time. But with the changes that we see in the weather and these records that are set year on year for, I would almost say, for both heat and cold, although the last two winters have not been very severe in the US, then we'll have a lot of interesting trading opportunities in the future.
You could expect some of the same developments as we've seen in Europe. At times, it may be challenging to manage all these renewables, and it would be a planning problem of how to introduce more renewables, but at the same time introduce flexible assets that can manage these very variable production, right? So that will definitely be a challenge, which US to some extent has experienced already in CAISO. You've seen that with solar production sometimes giving some troubles in those areas. But that's the development. I think you would see it similar to what we've seen in Europe.
Thank you, Anders. Thank you, Tor. You've been listening to Behind the Screens. This is a podcast series made by Energy Trading House Danske Commodities. My name is Jens Østergaard. Be sure to catch the other episodes of Behind the Screens where you normally listen to podcasts.